This is Kevin Burke from the School of Kinesiology and Recreation at Illinois State University. Thanks for joining Burke on Mayberry. This is, I believe, one of the best episodes entitled Convicts at Large. Aired on December the 10th, 1962, was written by Everett Greenbaum and Jim Fritzl and directed by Bob Sweeney. First of all, this episode is just hilarious. There's so many funny things going on here. And I believe this is Howard McNair as Floyd. I believe one of, if not his best performance on the Andy Griffith Show. Sadly, it was his last performance before he suffered a severe stroke. But I just believe Floyd was hilarious in this episode, and I just love watching him. And hopefully you'll get a chance to hear him in a little bit. But let's talk about the episode a little bit. First of all, it opens up in a very different way. We see a prison and hear sirens blaring, and then the next scene we see it's daylight, and you get the belief that three female prisoners are on the loose going through the woods, and they happen to come up on a cabin out in the woods, and it's Charlie O'Malley's cabin. The scene next then goes to the courthouse, and we see Andy standing beside an old radio listening to a report, and the report is about the escaped convicts, and they give the convicts' names and some of their aliases, and when it talks about Big Maud Tyler, it gives several of her aliases, and one of them, all of them being female until you get to the last one, and it's Ralph Henderson. And so again, just great writing on part of the writers here, Everett Greenbaum and Jim Fritzl. Of course, Andy Griffith had a lot of say in revising scripts and stuff, so you never know really how much Andy played a role in some of these scripts. According to the characters, he really tinkered with the scripts quite a bit. But so after that, we see Floyd and Barney are out in the woods, and they're in Floyd's car, and they've run out of gas. And Floyd and Barney get in a little bit of an argument, and Barney tells Floyd to shut up, and it's just hilarious. And Floyd's upset because Barney tried to take a shortcut, which didn't turn out to be a shortcut. So Floyd and Barney decide it's time to try to go get some gas, so they go to Charlie O'Malley's house and start yelling for him because they see some smoke coming out of the chimney. And what you see is the convicts are inside the house. And so they're not sure, the convicts aren't sure what they're going to do, because Barney had on regular civilian clothes, or his civvies as he'd called them. He put his uniform back on because he says he looks a little rough in civvies. So they go up to the house, and Barney yells in, and Maud yells back, "There's no one home." Real brilliant. So the convicts invite him in. And in just a few seconds, they've got Barney's gun and they're holding him. Now, here's a little bit of an interesting thing to think about. In this particular scene, this part of the scene, the convicts steal Barney's gun. And remember, Barney's gun has no bullet in it. The only bullet he's got is in his front pocket. And so you've got a lady holding Barney and another lady holding Floyd. At that point, you think they could get away. Why would they be afraid of the gun? So maybe something they didn't think about on the Andy Griffith Show, but you know, it's not that big a deal. But again, why would Barney and Floyd not try to get away knowing that Barney's gun's empty? And Barney and Floyd are captured, and again, there's a lot of funny dialogue in here. The convicts call Floyd Four Eyes, and one of the convicts calls Barney Al because she looks like Barney looks like her old boyfriend. And and what's funny of this episode, again, Floyd starts calling Barney Al. And again, it's good writing because it's something Floyd would do, but it also shows that Floyd was really scared in this situation. He wanted to comply with whatever the women wanted him to do. So, you know, Floyd lets them know that people are going to look for him if they don't get back to town soon. So they hold the gun to Barney's head, and he calls Andy and tells Andy, you know, that won't be back when he expects him to, and so forth. Well, a few minutes later, one of the convicts wants to dance, and another one wants to fight with Floyd, and so the convicts are getting bored, so they decide to put on some music, and when they do, Naomi goes nuts and picks up a vase and busts over Floyd's head because it reminds her of her and her boyfriend's old song. So next scene, we see Floyd. He drives to town with one of the convicts. He runs into Andy. Andy thinks Floyd is having a little get-together with some women and Barney and O'Malley up in the cabin. And so, you know, Floyd's making sure he doesn't give it away, but all the time he's trying to point at the woman in the car. But Andy thinks he's talking about he's picked up a woman rather than, you know, that's somebody that needs to be worried about. So after they drive off, the bus comes in. Andy pulls out his pocket watch, looks at it, and starts to walk around. He hears somebody call him, and that's O'Malley. And then Andy all of a sudden realizes, wait a minute, I thought you were at your cabin. And so he and O'Malley talk, and Andy asks O'Malley if he can drive him up to his cabin, which he does. Well, when they get up there, they see what's going on. The three female convicts are in there holding Barney and Floyd. And so they start to want to cook something, need some water. And again, getting water outside in the cabin turns out to be their downfall, because as each woman comes out to get water, at least the first two, Andy and O'Malley handcuff them and catch them and gag them and put them in the car, we assume. We never see that, but we assume they get put in the car. So Barney gets stuck in the kitchen with cooking hamburgers, and he's trying to get the smoke out, and Andy appears at the window, and so Andy tells Barney to get the other one, Maude, to come outside. So they go back into the sitting area, and Barney tells Maude that he would like to start dancing because you're beginning to get to me. And so Barney does his best little dance, and each time he dances her toward the doorway, her arm's sticking out with a gun, and Andy's standing right outside the doorway with some handcuffs, and it takes him three times before he's finally able to handcuff Big Maude. And so as Andy and Barney are outside talking, all of a sudden Floyd comes out and says,
"Maude, help! Those hamburgers are ruined. I won't be responsible."
And again, I just think Howard McNear is hilarious in this particular episode. So again, just an excellent performance here. In the final scene on this particular Andy Griffith show, we see Barney and Andy talking in the courthouse, and Barney's, you know, sort of patting himself on the back, how he was so calm, cool, and collected, and that Floyd really didn't know how to handle himself. But all the time, Floyd looks more calm and cool than Barney the entire time they captured him. In fact, there's times when Floyd's just sitting on the couch eating a banana. It looks like he's just having a good old time. But they're talking about this and how Floyd really wasn't much help. And then you hear a thump on the door, which is the newspaper hitting the courthouse door. So Barney goes to get the newspaper, opens it up, and you see Barney's eyes get really big. And you look, and the Mayberry Gazette has printed on the front page, "Local barber captures escaped convicts." So Floyd got the credit for capturing the escaped conflicts, which, you know, just irks Barney to no end. So again, another great Andy Griffith Show episode. I just think well written and so funny. And again, my hat off to Howard McNair's performance as Floyd in this particular episode. Some other little details that you might want to know is that Rita Shaw, who stars as Big Maude Tyler, you see her again in an Andy Griffith Show episode entitled The Songfester. She's Barney's voice teacher. Eleonora Poultice plays a totally different character when she's playing Eleonora Poultice. And of course, you know the Fun Girls. Well, Jean Carson, who was Naomi in this convict episode, became known as one of the Fun Girls on the Andy Griffith, on later Andy Griffith shows. And so again, she is you see her face again. The third convict, Jane Dulow, who played Sally, might recognize her face as she was Agent 99's mother on another comedy that I enjoyed, Get Smart. So again, some other tidbits I thought you might enjoy. Speaking of tidbits, got a good trivia question for you, and the answer, of course, you can find if you listen to this episode. In this episode, what crime was Naomi convicted of? Again, what was the crime that one of the convicts named Naomi was convicted of? If you think to know the answer, please email me at burke@mayberry.com. That's burke@mayberry.com. Or you can go to burkeonmayberry.com and see the answer beside the name of this episode, Convicts at Large. The answer will be in parentheses beside there. I hope you're continuing to enjoy Burke on Mayberry and also listening to the other Mayberry podcast, Two Chairs No Waiting, by Alan Newsom. We enjoy putting these podcasts together for you. If you have any questions or comments, don't hesitate to contact me at burke@mayberry.com. And as they would say in Mayberry, my best to you and yours, and thanks again for listening to Burke on Mayberry.